Without a moment delay, here we are with District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey, because it is Monday, the 14th, the 12th of February, and it is time for the Supervisors On Air meeting. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm well, Raleigh. How are you this evening?
Can't complain.
Well, that's good.
But
that's
we
good.
Were talking off the air. I got to bring it up first because finally we've talked so much about this during the various meetings about the blight issue. And you did it. You were able to destroy a house.
We did that. And it was on Wednesday and of last week. And we demoed a property on 4368 Copper Street. And I was over there. I got pictures. As a matter of fact, I was working on an article in my office today, but I didn't get it finished because I had a 1 o'clock Roosevelt meeting. By the way, was very well attended because we've got some projects going out there. So anyway, if anybody is curious, they can call in.
Well, that's right. And you see, that's the subtle hint. They show up in Roosevelt. You don't even call here. So I know it's because you don't know the phone number. So let's go over this again, shall we? 888-876-5593. That's 888 Rolleye.
So there you go. So okay, if you didn't get that number, we'll try again maybe. But but anyway, yeah, like I've said 100 times, the blight deal. We get a dollar dump day to help people. We get things going. We make the fines a little stiffer for people that violate, and that's all good for property owners. But then we get into the non-property owners, which are places to where the person has passed away and it never went to probate.
Right.
And so someone's paying the taxes on that, a friend, a relative, or whomever, to keep it going to a tax lien sale. But they're not taking care of the property, but we have no one to cite. So,
right.
So that's an issue I'm really working hard on. And then the other brick wall that we run into is these investors that buy these tax liens property. And I bring that up, too, because Gila County is getting ready to have another tax lien sale. You may have seen the things listed in the paper. But anyway, there's corporations that buy these tax liens and they pay the taxes for 3 years and then they can foreclose on the property and own it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, because if they foreclose on the property and own it, then they become owners and they're responsible for it like you and I are. So they don't. They don't foreclose on the property, and it can be in that limbo state for 10 years.
Because they still have the right to foreclose on the property.
But they have the right to foreclose on it.
So therefore, nothing can be done about it.
Nothing can be done until 10 years, and then it goes back up on a tax lien sale. So,
and see, investors know that. And the occasional family that does that is almost like a one-off. But investors, that can be literally dozens and dozens of properties.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. They purchase lots of properties. And so anyway, what we did on this one is it was one of those properties, and it's a big property, but we were only able to demo a portion of it because what I'm working on is, like I said, I kept running into brick walls. But anyway, after meeting with our county attorney and our health department and things, we came up with a state code that if the health department deems a property a health hazard, then it doesn't have, we don't have to contact an owner. We can go get rid of the health hazard. And so that's what we did on this particular property. And we weren't able to do the whole property, just the portion of the property that was a health hazard.
Okay.
And okay, I that's a double-edged sword for me because one, okay, we were able to clean up that property. And I was very grateful for that because it burned out a long time ago. But the bad thing is I have to take taxpayers' money,
right,
and clean up these properties for an investor. And he's sitting back there, all right, my property's got worth more value because county went in and took off some of the stuff that was a health hazard on it. But I would still love to see a law in the state of Arizona that I don't care who you are. I mean, Raleigh, you have property. You pay taxes.
Of course.
I have multiple properties, and I pay taxes. And everybody that owns property pays taxes, but have to live back next to somebody Who's paying taxes on the property?
Right.
But they don't have to clean it up.
Right.
That just infuriates me.
Well, sure, because it's also a fire danger come summer and when the weeds grow and everything else.
I mean, and the mosquitoes and the rats,
yes,
and the mice,
yes,
and the rattlesnakes. Yeah, believe me, I know. And so I'm working hard, and I would like very much for the state at some point to pass a law for the state of Arizona. I don't care if you're an... Well, they say, what if it's an investor? Well, what if he is? He's paying the taxes on the property. Why can't he spend a few hundred dollars to have somebody clean it up?
Exactly.
And if you're, you know, paying a property taxes for a loved one that has passed, take care of the property.
Or sell it.
Or sell it, because we have a lot of jobs here in the Globe, Miami area that people would love to live here, but they can't find a place to live.
I know.
And we have properties that are falling down because nobody will take care of them. And so, anyway, that's a soapbox I'll probably never get off.
Nor should
but,
you.
But I got to keep trying to find. And now I'm working with our county attorney's office to see that if we can't force a property into probate. So if the person has passed away,
mm-hmm,
then if you go to probate, then the state figures out what goes on.
Right.
So if we force probate on some of these properties, then hopefully a responsible person will stand up, because the state will then make that person in charge of that property.
How many of these properties, though, are worth enough to not be excluded from the probate requirement?
I don't know that. I think any property would be up for probate. It doesn't have to have a value, does it?
Yeah.
It does?
Yeah. If your estate is below, and that would include your property, is below a certain amount, it does not need to be probated.
Well, I'm going to just keep running into brick walls.
Well, no, there may be another way. Now, the health department thing is a very interesting thing, and I know there are a number of people who are living next to eyesores that they truly believe are more than eyesores inside.
Right.
So can the health department go in to check that? Or do they have to have probable cause?
I would guess it's got to be visual. Like raw sewage is one of the ways we were able to get this property deemed a health hazard. So going in a place that someone is living there, I think you would need a court order in order to do that. And unless you have a violation, I don't know. But like I say, I've done everything that I can do as a supervisor, so now it's going to take the county attorney to back me,
right,
or the state of Arizona to back me in what ordinances we can use or try to use to get some of these properties cleaned up, because I know that there's many. Believe me, I live here. I drive around. I see them. And what makes it bad is when you've made the violation worse for people who own property to try to get these places cleaned up, and they're living next to a place that's worse than theirs ever has been.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
That's a double-edged sword. But
yeah,
those are the two reasons why. And I'm working on those. So if you're an attorney with nothing to do on your spare time and you want to help me with this, to help me come up with ways so we can work through with a county attorney to get it done, or if you have helped someone in this situation before, because we need to push probate, we need to push something, we need to push our legislatures, we need to push some buttons to help make property owners more responsible than they're getting to be.
I think the probate exemption in Arizona is the real property. If it's worth $100,000 or less, it doesn't have to be probated. So that's your cutoff. Now, their personal property has to be less than $75,000.
Oh, well.
So, but, you know, a lot of these houses would be borderline. But, if that isn't a way, there's a way. and there's almost got to be. And, you know, we've talked a lot about this because when we're driving in from the valley on 60, you go through this gorgeous, absolute gorgeous landscape. I mean, the rocks are magnificent. It just keeps getting better and better. And then you hit Miami and think you turned off into the South Bronx.
Right.
And that is a deal killer for people who are looking to relocate. They take one look at that and say, no way, Jose.
Oh, I agree. Right. And I've been to you know, county supervisors meetings where all the supervisors meet to get a hold of the legislature. And all the rural counties have this problem.
Yes.
And so, you know, like I say, I think at some point in time, even our county, you know, like you say, whether we can push probate. Well, that would, like you say, if it's not worth $100,000 and you can't push probate and things of that nature, mm-hmm. well, then we're going to have to come up with something else. But with all of the rural counties in the state of Arizona having the same issue, you know, maybe the state, you know, at some point will step in. At this point, you know, I haven't had much luck with, because you talk to them about anybody that's paying taxes on a property needs to be liable for that property.
Sure.
And they kind of say, well, let me think on that for a while. Or let me get with an attorney on it. And it's like, well, I don't know. But anyway, we did get to tear one down.
Yes, congratulations.
I did get a picture of a pile of debris in a vacant lot where they're hauling it off.
Good.
And so I'll do a little article kind of over what we've been talking about.
All right.
And I'll put it in the paper just so the people that haven't heard it on the radio or haven't heard me talk about the frustration that I'm having for it.
Well, get it to us. We'll put it on the website.
I'll give it to you and put it on the website.
Sure, we'll be happy to do that.
But, you know, we just need some help. We need enough interested people out there to help push for laws to be made or ordinances to be changed mm-hmm. or things of that nature where people need to be more responsible.
Yeah, I think what's happened in some cases is the Arizona legislature has tried to make it easier in the event of a death for a family to go on, and there's all sorts of ways that things transfer, but in the process, what's happened is the loophole you're discussing, which is not often the families, does happen, but often the investors when you're talking about dozens of properties. So it was probably well-intentioned at one time, but what Phoenix doesn't understand is that this has killed eight of the counties in the state or more.
Right. Yeah, and like I say, you know, we can just go on and on, but here we're a county that live on 3% of our tax base of private property because everything is mine property, reservations, BLM, or Forest Service.
Absolutely.
So we don't have the tax revenue when you go down to the valley and there's houses built on houses and nine stories high. That's all tax revenue for them. We have nothing but panoramic views. So if we have, you know, an abundance of abandoned homes or blighted, messy homes, there's investors that would like to put them back out in the tax rolls, which would give some of our people whom are commuting a place to live so that then we're getting their school taxes, we're getting the, you know, they become part of the community. But right now we're writing an awful lot of checks to an awful lot of people that are spending all of their property tax and sales tax in another county.
Right.
Maricopa, Pima. We could use it. We're the ones that created their jobs.
Absolutely.
We just can't create them a place to live right off the bat.
Right.
We're working on that as well. And, you know, Mayor's working on that too. I'm glad that I'm working well or we're working well with the town of Miami and the city of Globe. And while I'm there, the town of Miami, I have mentioned on the air in the past that, you know, with TRSD, which is another deal that we're doing to improve the infrastructure of our community with sewer for the places that don't have them.
So important.
Yes, and I had openly said that at the time Miami had not written a letter of support to TRSD, and I said that publicly. So publicly, I'm going to say that I have one in my hand right now.
Good.
Which is a support letter from the town of Miami, and it's a page and a half or two, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but And this is something that the town of Miami worked out with Tri-City, and God love them for the betterment of the community. And I'm just going to read like the last paragraph. The town appreciates the opportunity the parties have had over the past couple of months to meet and discuss these concerns and issues, and focuses on the needs for the parties. constituents. Okay. For the party's constituents. The town believes that TRSD has sufficiently responded to and answered the town's concerns and does hereby provide this letter of support for the TRSD CAG 208 plan amendment revision. Signed by the town manager, Alexis Rivera. So anyway, I had said in the past that they had not given a letter of support.
And now they have.
And now they have. And you know how, because like I said at one of their meetings, you know, I'm you know, the City of Globe and mayor are in my district for the City of Globe and town of Miami, and they're my own council. And so, and then we go, to Payson, and there's one there, not in my district.
Right.
But, it's a huge deal. And so, like I explained, I'm looking at it from a bigger view, because I got a bigger house with lots of rooms and lots of people in it.
Right.
And not all of the rooms and not all the people are always going to get along. But when they do, it's a great thing, it's great when everybody can work things out for the better of the community, and I wanted to bring that up because, like I say, I so appreciate the relationship with Mayor Gomeros and mayor and council of Miami. It's good to work together on things like this.
Yeah, and this benefits everybody. Obviously, I realize Miami has their own system, and that was fraught with issues as well. But what's been going on with that Tri-City property? I mean, the reality is that should have been a system a decade ago, and all sorts of nefarious things and mismanagement, and all the tales everybody's heard. But the bottom line is, finally, we're on track for this to actually occur. Now, if you're in the third phase of this, you are several years off still.
Yes.
So there are people who are literally holding their breath because they're on cesspool, and if that fails, they may be one of the abandoned properties.
Right. But like you say, if there hadn't have been what had gone on in years past,
yes,
it could have been built by now.
Oh, it would have. Absolutely.
it could have been built by now when construction was reasonable. But anyway, I try not to go backwards. Just keep going forwards.
Right.
Because when you left to go west in a covered wagon, I mean, you never looked back. You just kept going. You didn't know what you'd need, but you just had enough confidence that if you kept going, you'd get to California.
Yeah.
And now people from California are coming back.
Oh, God, yes, to the detriment of Arizona, but that's another subject, yes.
Yeah, that's another subject. But anyway, okay. No callers yet.
Yeah, that's 888-876-5593. Now, last week we got an email while we were on the air, actually, from Rich. Hi, Rich. He actually sent this to both you and Mayor Gomeros, wanting the two of you to elaborate on the status of efforts regarding the revised lead and copper rule and the requirements of the new rule as to inventory, potential replacement of lead service lines, school, child daycare, and required increase overall lead and copper sampling.
Well, if that's in the water, that the county, we don't have any water pretty much that we're in charge of.
Is there a revised lead and copper rule somewhere?
There may be.
Okay.
And Rich, I'm sorry, I did not investigate that to bring it on the air today. Maybe perhaps the mayor did. I think he's on after I am. But but we don't run any water companies.
No, of course not.
So as far as county goes, that would probably be an ADEQ requirement, I think, Raleigh.
Well, yeah, if it is water that he's discussing.
Sure.
But let's face it, to us, this is 18 words in search of a sentence. So,
right. Yeah.
In other words, Rich, we're not too clear, at least I'm not, on what this is you're after, but I'll ask Mayor Gomeros as well.
Yeah, and Rich, I think you have my number, so feel free to call me so we can discuss this further.
And that number is?
My number is, my cell phone number is 928-961-2885. My office number is 928-402-4417. And my assistant, Terry Links's number is 928-402-4417. 4418. Emails are easy for the county. It's the initial of the first name, the last name, at HealCountyAZ.gov.
Very good.
So, if you won't call in and tell me, then email me or phone me and say, you know, Supervisor Humphrey, when you're on the radio next month, would you please talk about so and so, or I'm curious about such and such. Would you try to find the answer for me and get it back to me? And I'll be happy to give it back to you on your email or over the radio, either or both. Like I say, I have these meetings like at Roosevelt, and I have the meetings at Tonneau Basin and Geisela. To get in front of the people to find out what's going on, and that's why I'm on the radio here. Not only because I enjoy Raleigh's company, but but also to inform you of things going on and to be informed by you of things that need to be going on, or something that I may need to be looking into, or issues that you may have, because I can't be a million places at once, so that's why I try to get in front of the constituents so they can help me.
Right.
Help.
And I did try to search it, actually. There is the only thing I could find out was the EPA had a revised lead and copper rule, and that goes back to 2021.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that is to what we're referring, but I would assume that on August 4th, 2022, the EPA released guidance, and so maybe it has to do with compliance. But I would think EPA, we're talking federal. Now, who knows? Somebody's calling. Look, glory be.
Did we stir up a caller?
Well, hopefully we stirred up Rich. I don't know. Or somebody else who knows about this. So the EPA is strengthening their LCR, lead and copper rule. But again, I would think that was in fact federal. But I think that John is interrogating Rich as we speak, and I think that we'll be hearing from him in a moment, maybe. All right.
Okay,
so as soon as John gets him in the system, we don't keep the information, by the way, so don't ever worry about that. All right, but get out the magic twanger here so I can actually see. It's the first time I'm actually answering this. How about this? So,
all right.
So, Rich, I'm so glad you called. Clearly, we're wallowing in ignorance.
It's not so much ignorance. The fact that the lead and copper rule was revised and started in 2021,
right?
And we had until October of 2023 to get the plan, the city plan, the water company, any water company in the state of Arizona, into the EPA and ADEQ.
All right. So then, what I think I'm hearing, based on what you just said, is that since they're in Tim's auspices, there's no water company involved. It's private. But in Mayor Gamero's City of Globe, water would be involved. Now, as far as what Arizona Water Company, like I say, that's private. I don't know.
Right. But they still have to follow the lead and copper.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. Absolutely. But, the supervisor, I don't think, would necessarily know that. But but City of Globe would have to follow that, too. So following Tim.
Any water system in the country.
Yeah. Following Tim, we will have Mayor Gamero's on. And now that I understand what you're asking, I will put it directly to him.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And what I can do is... Rich has got a lot of private companies within the county, and so I can get with staff to check with these private water companies to see if they are up to the 2021 standards as of this point, because they should have been by 2023. So by 2024, they should be up to 2021 standards, and I can get perhaps with our health department to see if that's something that we know and or can check on with the private water well companies within Gila County?
Well, it's not so much through the health department. It would be through the water companies and their environmental department, environmental regulatory compliance.
Okay.
Right, but that would be, I mean, through my branch of county, I believe.
Right.
Their
county, you can check with the companies throughout your jurisdiction.
Right.
That everybody has to comply by this by a certain date, and that's what I was wondering, whether or not they're in the realm.
Okay.
And close to that date.
Okay, well, the mayor can probably get you answers for that, and so, being that you called and brought it up, I can check with staff to see where we can get with the private water companies within the county and
right.
See if they are aware or up to date.
Okay, well, just to give you a bit of a background, I worked 35 years in the water treatment.
Do you want a job?
Yeah, right. Do you want a job now?
You said you worked. That's past tense.
Yeah. Right.
You want a part-time job?
Well, I spent the last 10 years of it in environmental and regulatory compliance.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
and I did permitting and everything from the SWIP to APP to every bit of it.
Well, if you want to do something part-time or on occasions, I would believe that Gila County would probably be able to use your professionalism in helping us with some of our areas.
But in the meantime, hopefully we can figure out whether these companies are in compliance. Now, I would have assumed with a 2023 drop deadline, the bottom line was AWC with their bills or whatever had to send out a notice saying they did this. But I don't know that anyone's seen one.
Well, they will have to provide a certain amount of coverage, financial backing, help to any residents out there that might have a lead service line, a galvanized after lead service, or total lead service line replacement.
Yeah, absolutely. If that's still existing, you betcha.
Oh, it's existing. They are getting ready to implement the final plan, the revision, this year.
Really?
Yes.
So we still
and
have lead
service
lines.
Out of
lines.
Compliance. Then there's a big fine involved, everything else. So, daily fine.
Good. All right, well, let's find out. I'll ask Mayor Gamaros, and feel free to call back.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks,
thank you, Richard.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Tim.
All right, so we got a caller.
We got a caller. All right, that's great.
Yeah.
And just real quick, running through Golden Hills Project, we're going to finish the sidewalk from where it stopped and come on out to... I believe right there at the gas company.
Okay.
Where the old gas company office used to be. Russell Gulch, we got a project going on there that's going to go pretty much from the hospital to the APS area. It's going to be, we're going to put a liner in that creek so it moves water better.
Okay.
And so that is something that we're going to start. This project will change the flow of water, and I think it's going to start about the middle to end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, and then we're working on a grant for Russell Gulch Road. We're working on a grant for that. And so, anyway, real quick, that's some projects we're doing. The road crew, we're working on Johnson Lane, upper half of Wallaman Road, Pinnell Creek, on Johnson Lane, and they're going to be taking that asphalt up and milling it and then redoing it. And so we're working on those roads. And so I know the mayor is here and anxious.
Yep.
Rolly, I appreciate your time and
absolutely.
For having me on in public.
Replace.
Thank
what?
You very much.
Oh yeah, I should mention, that's right. If you are joined halfway, or if you want to hear this again and again, or you want to keep it for yourself in perpetuity, this meeting will be on KQSS.net, and I'll have it on there, you know, in the next day or two. And it replays live on KJAA Sunday morning at 8 a.m., and that's 106.1 and 1240 a.m.